Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You're listening to A&R Podcast, episode 28. Today we'll be talking about some legal issues going on between Scarlett Johansson and Disney, Netflix's Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom, and our thoughts on a live-action Invincible movie. Let's go.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another A&R Podcast. We've got a fun show today. But always, before we begin our show, I want to bring in my fellow partners. And today, joining me from light years and beyond is my buddy Buzz, a.k.a. D. D, how you doing?
To infinity.
And beyond.
I'm all right.
So I guess that makes me Woody.
Yeah, he's pretty cool too, though.
I love Woody.
Yeah, he's
Tom Hanks. Yeah. Oh, yes. Did you love Toy Story, all of them?
I did. There's didn't have any problems with any of them. You know how there's the sequelitis that just ruins the franchise?
It's unbelievable how this franchise, yeah. It was so good.
It maintained its heart.
Yeah, it's so good. I believe there's talks of another one coming.
There's a Buzz Lightyear movie, but
yeah.
It's about the actual character, and it has nothing to do with the toys.
Which is kind of strange and weird.
They didn't make the cartoon Buzz Lightyear Star Command, so...
Yeah. So I will see when that drops, but I heard that another Toy Story is in the works as well.
So, oh dear. They better not push it.
Yeah, I mean... you're going deep with 4 already there, right? But it's just such a heartwarming type of movie. I just love all the characters they have there. And anytime they introduce a new character... Whether it be a good guy or a bad guy, it's still such a great, you know, movie. It's unbelievable to see 4 straight. I mean, yeah, are there one that's better than the other? Maybe. Yeah. Everyone has their own preference. But you can't say that any of them were bad, right? It's just such a great...
They put a smile on your face.
Exactly. All right. So... Like we always do before we begin our 3 topics, we are going to talk about what we got and what we watched. So, D, take it away.
Someone threw a bunch of He-Man toys at me and...
Who was that?
The Shang-Chi wave. So that's what I got.
Shame on them.
I also went and got you know those DC Essential lines that are no longer in existence? I went and bought a Catwoman. I want to make an Amazon. So I'm going to try to do...
Did you want mine? Because like mine are just sitting here collecting dust.
Which ones? Your essentials?
I think I have pretty much all of them.
No, keep those, man. Are you crazy?
I wish they had better articulation. Why did they use the same body for every figure?
That Nightwing looks nice, though.
Yeah.
And then put him beside Superman, and Superman's the same size as him.
Yeah, it's just like, oh. The face sculpting is awesome.
Yeah.
No, they look really good. The Joker looks amazing. For the face, but the rest of the, I don't know. Anyways, I don't want to get into DC. It depresses me. All right, so, what did you watch and what did you get besides that?
Didn't get anything else. There's just nothing out right now, unless I want to spend big bucks, but even then, I don't necessarily want anything. So, what I watched, I listened to a podcast on Mondays called Bad Friends with Bobby Lee from Mad TV. I don't know if you remember him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Andrew Santino, and it's just them being comedians and just talking nonsense, but I like it. I like a little comedy in my life. And then I watched some more anime, but no movies this week.
No movies, okay.
No.
Cool.
I'm just trying to burn through that one I talked about last time called Black Clover, where that magicless kid finds that demonic sword.
How is that going so far?
it gets intense, and then it has filler episodes. Right now, there's filler episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. I know your kid was into starting. He's asking questions about My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Did he taper off that, or is he still asking?
He's still watching. I'm gonna leave him alone a little bit, let him watch a bit, and then come back to me. Like, for me, I haven't got deep in that either. Uh-huh. It's just because of time. There's so many things going on, right? Especially with our A&R projects. But I'm gonna let him be and let him watch, and then once he starts asking me questions, then I'm gonna have to go back and watch him, and then maybe we rewatch it with him.
Why is he asking you questions? He should be the one answering your question. That should be.
He always defaults to me thinking that I've watched everything. He's like, "What? You didn't watch this? What's wrong with you? Like, I thought you were an A&R guy here, right?" So he expects me to know and everything, and it's just like, okay, yeah.
I'll just tell him. Tell him this is a test for him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You tell me what you think. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's about it. Still need to watch Fast 9. Still, are you into those types of movies?
Oh, yeah. Any action movies? Yeah, definitely. I love movies generally. All kinds of different types of movies.
Yeah.
Except for you know, the horror stuff. I don't do that stuff.
That's Chris. That's not us.
Yeah, that's definitely Chris. That is right up his alley. Speaking of Chris, he is taking a little bit of a hiatus. He will be back with us down the road, so we'll look forward to having him come back stronger than ever. For me, what I watched and what I got. Okay, well, in terms of watching, I watched my Superman and Lois TV show.
Oh, there's a new episode? Or is it done?
Yeah.
Oh, man. New episode. Okay, thank you. I'm excited now. I thought this season was done or something.
Wait. No, I believe there was. I remember watching it last week. Oh, you know, it's such a blur.
Yeah.
So many things going on.
I'm going to go check. I'll check after.
Yeah. Maybe this week wasn't it. But I watch that every Tuesday, so maybe I watched a rerun. It's been a blur for me. I watch a lot of the Olympics right now. It's going on. It's so much fun to watch these games. There's so many different sports that you get to watch for the first time because, you know, they don't really put BMX racing on TSN every single weekend, right? So you get to watch these cool, like I watched the trampoline event, and it was insane.
Some of these are getting weird.
The height that these people get in, it's like they're going like a three-story building. They're jumping that high, right? It's insane. So I watched that, and then I've been watching. I've been struggling through the Bad Batch. It's become real bad. It's fallen off a cliff for me. Like, I have lost interest in this, but I'm trying to watch it because I do like some of the characters from there. But I'm struggling through it. It's just not pulling me in. I don't know what's wrong with the show. Maybe it's just me and just not being interested in it. But, I watched that. And then, obviously, Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty's doing strong. It's just such a phenomenal show. If anyone has not watched Rick and Morty, please go and watch this show. If you love smart comedy, you love, you know, these multiverse stuff, this is a show to watch. A lot of the writers from this show moved on to write movies for Marvel, and the Loki TV show was a lot of it was written by, you know, the Rick and Morty cast and the writers there. So definitely worth checking out. What I got? Let's see what I see here. I've got the third-party Oculus robots.
Oh yeah, Oculus Max.
Yeah, Ocular Max. I'm going to be building the giant there. I'm going to probably do that on our YouTube channel, which, by the way, you should check out if you're listening to our podcast. We do have a YouTube channel, Astonishing News and Reviews. We're dropping videos every week. Lots of videos coming this summer. All kinds of figures from various lines. We also have a social media place, Astonishing NR, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check us out. We're dropping news, information on all things pop culture. So, yeah, we got a lot of things going on. Back to my little haul here. I also picked up the Mezco Thanos. I did not intend to pick this up. I just walked into a store, and there he was. Mm-hmm. I didn't even pre-order this thing. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do it. But I don't know what happened. I got the Mezco itch, and it's really, really dangerous because I went deep this week on Mezco. So I pre-ordered Batman, Sovereign Batman. I ordered Black Panther. And I believe, I can't remember what else I ordered, but I ordered a couple more from Big Bad Toy Store, and they're on their way here, so I can't wait for that.
All it takes is one.
Yeah, oh, so good. Some of these figures, they hit you so good. The soft goods, I'm a sucker for that. And then I also got the character from, what do you call it, from Power Rangers? The bird.
Oh, the Tengu Warriors?
Yeah, Tengu Warriors. I got one of those. Then, surprise, surprise, I got a message from two online retailers. Both of them are awesome people. First, Redshift 7. So, redshift7.ca. They contacted me and said, hey, we got these Star Wars 50th Anniversary Archives figures. They're kind of beat up, he said, the packaging, but they're fresh, hot off the truck. You want them? I said, yeah, send it to me. I'm going to open them up anyways. What do I care? So he sent it overnight to me, and I got it, and we actually did a video. We dropped it actually yesterday, or a couple of days ago, sorry, a couple of days ago on the weekend, and you could check that out on our YouTube channel. They're remakes of some of the figures they already had from the Black Series line, but they improved some of the features on these figures, especially the face. There's some improvements in the face of some of these figures that made it look a little bit better than the previous one with the photoreal technology. So that was cool. I got that. And then I had Toy Snowman hit me up and say, hey, Surtur's here. You pre-ordered him. He's coming your way real fast. And I got that in a couple of days. And we just finished filming that. That video is going to drop in a day or two, I believe, somewhere around the middle of the week. But Surtur is a big boy. Big boy. 13 inches tall. Is a giant. And a really fun figure to grab. But definitely check both of those guys. Redshift 7 and Toy Snowman. Great people. They have amazing selection of figures. And best part about it is both of their customer service is awesome. They're really, really nice people to deal with. And finally, I end up getting another hot toy.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I got the anti-ox suit Spider-Man from the Spider-Man game. That makes it, I think, 8D. I think I'm 8 deep in Hot Toy Spider-Man.
Only 8?
Well, they only released 8. Can't get it. That's not made yet.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I believe, well, it's the Spider-Man from the Gamerverse, right? Yeah. I'm specifically going for those figures. I'm not doing MCU, and I'm not doing any other characters yet. But I'm definitely not going to do MCU. It's just too many figures, and I'm not doing that. So I'm specifically going for Spider-Man right now. But if they did make any comic characters like, let's say, Thor, and updated Thor and Captain America, I might jump that route.
Depends on the look and the character.
Yeah, it depends on the look and what are we looking at price here, right? So, right now, Spider-Man, Gamerverse, anything related to the Gamerverse and comic book, I'll definitely jump on board. And there's enough there to keep me busy for a while. They just announced the Rain one, I believe it is, with the, you know, the...
Oh, the jacket?
Yeah.
Like the Spider-Man Rain?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That one. And then I pre-ordered the SDCC... Not SDCC, their Toy Fair one that they didn't release, but they recently released Hot Toys, Sideshow Collectibles. It's the one, the Cyborg Spider-Man?
Yeah.
So I pre-ordered that, so I'm waiting for that one. And that will probably take me to 10. And then you have the Miles figures that are coming out. There's a couple of Miles figures from the game. I believe there's 3, and then Gwen as well. So, yeah, it's getting pretty deep now, that collection. But it's going to be cool when I display all the Spider-Man family into, one big collection. We'll definitely take lots of pictures.
I do want the Gamerverse one, but the classic suit.
Which one? You mean the one with the white emblem?
No. It looks like his comic suit, but it's from the game. Like, you know, when you start the game and it's the first one you have? Just like his default suit?
Yeah. I believe that's been released or is... There's a pre-order for that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that I got that one too coming. That's a sick one, yeah. Yeah, I mean, once you start, like I said, you might...
I can only do one, so...
you might get the itch. I mean, what if they make a Venom? Can you imagine a black... what if a black suit Spidey? That you have to get that.
That I have to get.
I mean, I might as well just double order that, because it's automatic for you.
Yeah, like no questions asked.
Yeah, exactly. So if I see it, it's double order. Don't worry, I got you. It's all good. Yeah, and then that's pretty much it. I mean, it was a good week, good haul. I'm excited to open up some of my Mezco. I just don't have the time. It's crazy how time just flies when you have all these figures. Like, I have figures, like, I literally have 20 figures a day I open. And it's still not making a dent. It's crazy. So,
good for business.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have. Unless it starts spewing all over your house, then the family gets mad. But let's get into our first topic. We're going to talk about Scarlett Johansson and her little deal with Marvel and Disney. So, D, you want to start it off here?
So, basically what happened is, per her contract, her Black Widow movie was only supposed to be released in theaters first. There's supposed to be a grace period where it's in theaters, and then it can go to Disney Plus and at home. Disney went ahead and released it on Disney Plus before the date was, like, set, like, before their, their grace period was allowed. So they effectively just broke the contract. And Scarlett believes that she lost profits because people weren't going to theaters to see it. They were just watching it from home. I personally think she has a ground to stand on here, because if it was written, if it is in a contract, if both parties signed it, then why would you do that? I know why they did that, but... Now, the thing here is, people aren't really sympathetic because she is a millionaire. So it's like, well, she made $20 million, who cares? But at the end of the day, that just shows one company believes they can step on whoever they want to make a profit, despite if the person they're stepping on is also a millionaire or if it's a little guy. If they did it to her, then they wouldn't even acknowledge you. They would just steamroll you if it came to it. So I don't know. How do you feel? Like, do you think she should have just let it go? Do you even care?
Okay, well, you know, I try to look at it from both sides of the coin here. So, on one hand, you know, she's claiming, allegedly, that she said that she had some back-end bonuses tied in to the theatrical release, and if it hit certain things in theater, she would be receiving those bonuses. There's no detail of what those bonuses are or what she had to hit, right? So, she is saying that she's lost millions by not having it hit the theaters and only the theaters for a certain amount of time.
50
based
million.
Based on their contract that she signed. Well, Disney hit back with a variety of reports that Disney hit back just in the last 48 hours, I believe it is, and said that she was paid $20 million to do the movie. They also said this is sad and pathetic that she is groveling about these things when people are dying and there's a COVID situation going on. And we just wanted to entertain people. I'm not buying that a little bit.
I was gonna mention.
I'm not buying that BS, because they're also saying that whatever bonuses she was gonna hit, they were gonna honor it. They're saying that. So they said it's irrelevant to why she's taking this to court. But now that she's taken to court, Disney's gonna stand firm now. They're saying that they're basically saying that they've honored everything that she had outlined in the contract, including her $20 million for the work. Now, these are rich people fighting over, you know, millions. I get it. I also looked at Scarlett Johansson's history as an actress. She has not made a hit. She has not made a hit aside from MCU movies. Her last movie was, I believe, Ghost in the Shell. And we all know how that went off. You know, a lot of people did not like that movie, and that movie was just dumpster fire. Did you like that movie, D?
I did not watch that movie, Alvin.
That tells you everything right there. You're an anime person, and you didn't even care. All right? So, and I've looked at her previous other movies. She had a movie with, I think, Bill Murray a while back. It was such a weird movie, but it was a fascinating movie. But it was just a regular movie. It wasn't nothing crazy. It didn't hit over $100 million or anything like that. But her career has just been a normal career at best. And MCU basically took her to a next level. She became a household name when she became an MCU character. And she owes a lot to them. She owes them, in fact, millions. She can theoretically right now never do a single movie, and her grandkids will be taken care of comfortably, and maybe even great grandkids. So she's made a lot of movies. $20 million was just for Black Widow. All the movies she's in, even the cameos that she did in some of the movies, she probably amassed over $100 million. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Yeah, $100 million, right? Not to mention revenues from other things, sponsorship. She's done sponsors, all that stuff.
Toy likenesses.
Yeah, exactly. So she probably made another $50-60 million from there. So we're looking at a close to $150 million she's made estimate, right? From some of the things that we know that she's done with the MCU character Black Widow. At what point do you have to say, oh, I still needed that $2 million or $3 million? Because how much really are the bonuses that she was going to get? Maybe $2 million, $3 million max?
They claim that she lost more than $50 million.
I highly doubt that. That is ridiculous. If the movie made $100 million, how could she get a bonus of $50 million? That's just ridiculous.
They say they also say the movie tapered out because of the dual release. She's like, it would have made more had it stuck to its laurels and went on to the theater. Just stood their ground and stuck to theater.
I disagree with that. How can the movie make more if the theaters are half the theaters shut down? Half the theaters weren't even open in Canada. There's so many theaters that were closed. Worldwide, there was a lot of theaters closed. I doubt she was going to make a lot of money. I think the Disney Plus release actually helped her. I think it put her on the map again for sales of merchandise. And sponsors probably want to jump in and be part of her, you know, the lore that she has right now, the interest that she has. So I don't know. I'm on the fence on this. I'm looking at it from, it's a billionaire to a millionaire fight here, right? Well, billions versus millions.
What's the point of a, like, if she is in the right, what's the point of a contract then? If they're just going to be like, nah, I don't like this, I'm just going to ignore it. Like, basically.
But I'm wondering if the contract had stipulations, like a pandemic, right? I mean, yeah. They do put these things in, like, you know, catastrophic events, something drastic happens. I'm sure these things are in a contract that if something drastic happens,
then they should have said that to her lawyer when they came. Like, they've had meetings already. So if there were stipulations in the contract, they should have been like, okay, here's why we don't have to honor it. Here's the loophole. But instead, they just say things like, nope, we honored it. And then they just refuse to talk to her again. So,
yeah, I mean, we don't know that. I mean, there's might be things that the lawyers don't want to disclose or have asked. Like, a lawyer from Disney can say to her lawyer, say, you cannot disclose this in public, right? Because it's our it's our business practices. So we don't know.
NDA, what?
Yeah, exactly. There could be lines in there or pages in there that lawyer for Scarlett that represents her cannot disclose in public.
True, but even if they did do that, she should have dropped it. She's still fighting it. So if there was an NDA and they reached out to her and be like, okay, here's the loophole. Here's why we are able to do this. Stop talking about it. She's still talking about it. So it makes me question how ironclad this contract is, why she's fighting so hard. Is this just a big company trying to steamroll their way through because they believe they're invincible? And that makes me want them to lose.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I want both of them to lose.
Yeah, there's no way one has to. But it did open up the gates because Emma Stone's considering it too now for Cruella. She said they did the same thing to her.
Emma Stone should give back the money for that movie. Like what was that?
It was
give back their money. This movie should never have been made. Well, not a single dog was in that movie.
And then here's the kicker. Gerard Butler as well is doing it over Olympus Has Fallen. Oh my God. Was there a sequel? When did this come out? I was like, the only one I remember is from 2012, and I looked, it's like, oh, it is that one. It's the 2013 one. He's just...
Gerard Butler is not even relevant anymore. Why is he... Oh, this is just going to open a Pandora's box.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's what's going to happen. Everybody from every part of... People that you never heard of, celebrities that did a one-off movie, is going to come back and ask for those millions.
But here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I mean... If the studio didn't want to pay these people, then make the contract. I would just be like, okay, here's this. We're Disney. You're a nobody. Just take the money. If you don't want it, we'll find someone else. But don't write a contract in their favor, and then when the time comes for them to collect, you ignore it.
I agree. If it states in the contract then stick to the contract. But if there's any clause in there and they're not able to disclose these clauses, who knows? We'll see. But I'm pretty sure we haven't heard the end of this.
Yeah. This is going to go on for a while.
Yeah, I think this also could affect a lot of other actors in the MCU who are probably going to their agents and their lawyers going, hold on a second here. With this new Delta variant that's, you know, ravaging in the U.S. and things are looking to go back to lockdown again, are we going to have this problem? Like, there's a lot of nervous actors in the MCU talking to their lawyers probably right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's starting something important here. Maybe she's opening up the door for a lot of these actors to make sure that they're taken care of properly. And if it's signed on the line there, then they have to honor it. And all the power to her to go to court and fight this with her lawyers. But if there is a clause there saying this specific things like a pandemic occurs, we have the right to go to our streaming platform. And this could also open up now a different sort of paperwork. Now they could be saying, hey, you have to agree to us allowing this to be on Disney Plus, our streaming platform. Like, this could open up a new contract negotiations now where the actor is going to have to agree with that the Disney can open it up either in the theaters or on their streaming service, and they can't challenge this. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do going forward. They're going to do this for sure for all new agreements, that they have the right to open it on either platforms, and we'll see. But at the end of the day, it's millionaires versus billionaires. I really don't have too much sympathy over this. Mm-hmm. This is not something that I'm like, oh my God, I hope she wins. Like, I really don't care because she's made millions, yeah. But I get it from her standpoint. And I understand that if you sign it on agreement, then the company should honor it. And we'll probably follow this and see how this transpires and maybe do a follow up, on one of the podcasts of what actually happened at the end of the day, because we're not going to hear the end of this.
The thing for me is, as well, I see a lot of like smaller people dealing with lawsuits, and they drag on and on in court until one party runs out of money. Doesn't matter if they're right. It matters how much money you have, how much money and time. So for this is just like Scarlett has money and she has time. So I kind of curious to see how far she'll go with this.
Well, maybe she's fighting for the little people too. What if I don't mean like she cares generally about actual people. What I'm saying is this could set a precedent for other negotiations.
Yeah. She's accidentally starting a revolution.
Yeah, exactly, right?
with her greediness.
Yeah. So, you know, she could actually, you know, cuz other lawyers can look at their client's case and say, "Well, Scarlett Johansson got her a case, you know, she won her case, so why can't my client win the case?" And they don't need to spend the millions and wait it out because they've already got a situation that's shown that the person can win the argument, right? So yeah, she could be paving the road for a lot of people, and not just actors, like people in the industry, like just producers, the, you know, the writers, all that. And remember, Hollywood has a union too, right? They've got a union. So I'm wondering if the union's looking into this too and going, hold on a second, she's part of the union here, and you're on the other side of the fence. You can't do that to her. Yeah. And if she loses, this might hurt the union because all the people that pay into that union are going to say, what the hell? What is this contract?
Yeah, you guys are useless.
Yeah. What are you guys doing taking our money here every month? You know, millions of dollars you guys are taking. You can't even get a contract that is already signed to be honored with somebody who could take away millions from our pockets. So this is I have a feeling this is just a start. I think this is going to open up big, and we're going to hear some more. Like you said, already a few of the actors and actresses have already come forward. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the problem right now with the streaming platforms, HBO Max, Disney Plus, all these guys trying to get their movies onto the platform to continue the monthly subscription. Because if they don't get stuff on there, people just discontinue and then walk away, right? So yeah, we're going to definitely follow this up in a later episodes down the road and see what's going on. All right. Anything else you want to add to that?
No. We'll just see how this plays out from our little pathetic lives, I guess.
Our little pathetic lives. Okay. All right. Let's get into Transformers, the Netflix third installment of Transformers. You're not a huge fan. You dabble in it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty, I wouldn't say a huge big fan. I do love Transformers. They're one of my original loves. It has tapered off over the years because there weren't any really good figures that I liked. But the last 2 years, I had a surge in my Transformer collection because they were bringing the heat. They were bringing some cool figures. And especially recently, they brought in some amazing figures. So they've been riding that hype. Hasbro has to sell figures, and they need a nice, you know, juicy TV show to sell these figures. So they introduced and they partnered up with Netflix and a three-part series of Transformers, A War of Cybertron. And recently, they dropped the third installment, Kingdom, War of Cybertron. And, I mean, I know you have some takes on this. We're not going to do a full review on this, but we are going to mention some spoilers. So if anybody is listening and haven't seen it, definitely go watch it and then check back us and see. Here are our thoughts on it. We're just going to briefly talk about it. We're not going to go into too much detail. It's just too many things to talk about for us to break it down in one episode here. But what did you think initially when you started watching the first couple episodes?
So like you said, like, I'm not the biggest fan, not because I don't like them. It's because there's so much lore. There's G1, and then there's all the comics. I read the IDW comics.
Yeah.
Some people hate those, and they don't consider those true. Like, it's just hard and intense.
Oh, yeah. And then you have the Japanese version, like the RID, right?
Yeah. So. But overall, I was watching the first few episodes, and I kind of waited it out. I was like, okay, this is all the boring stuff. Like, whatever. I'm giving it a chance. Because that's Transformers. Sometimes they talk a lot. Like, it's not always action. I respect that, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So it did get entertaining over the course of the first few episodes. And this here is, I'll call it a crossover, where the G1 Autobots and Decepticons meet the Maximals and Predacons from Beast Wars. Now, some fans that I talked to thought this would be a crossover with the characters from the original show, where they retain their personalities and how they speak and their dialogue and all of that. No, it's different. These are, consider them more or less an alternate universe take on the Maximals and Predacons. I was okay with this. I did love Beast Wars. I loved it so much that I went and bought every toy back when I was a kid. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't have them anymore, but yeah, I was so into that show.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I know how you feel about that.
Oh, I'll have my take on that. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Continue. But it was because it was available to me at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just turn on YTV, turn on Fox Kids in the mornings. Oh, yeah. There's Beast Wars. Opposed to you having to hunt down the G1 shows. So I was into those. And the first thing that caught my attention is this Optimus Primal was so bloodthirsty. They're all shoot first, ask questions later. Compared to his previous self. It took a while for me to get used to that because, once again, not the same Optimus. Eventually, that grew on me. The one thing that I will not forgive here is our introduction to Megatron, the Predacon Megatron. So we get these Jurassic Park, like, foot stomps. And it's like, oh, something's coming. And I'm like, yeah, I know who that is, baby. And then he steps through the trees and he opens his mouth, and that is not Megatron. I don't know what that was, but he talked like
Barney.
He talked like Barney
coming out and hanging out.
Lord Megatron. Like, he had this like growl.
Megatron, I love you. You love me.
And I don't know, man. They went like full beta cuck with this dude. He was so just fanboying over.
I'm so glad you said that. I am so glad because you know, it's exactly how I feel. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine, shout out to my friend Jason, who's a huge Beast Wars fan, and we were talking, he's really into this, and so I was discussing with him, getting his take on it, and then talking to him about my opinions of the show, and we were just, like, both going, what is up with the voice, you know, casting here? Like, why did they decide to go this route? It doesn't make any sense. Like, he sounds like a groveling little insect.
He sounds like Scorponok from Beast Wars, which threw me off. So I was like, oh, is Scorponok in the background? Did he talk? No, it was like...
Did Scorponok and him switch bodies? Like, what's going on, right? Yeah, and then even Max, Primal. Is it Maximus Primal? I don't know.
I'm Optimus Primal, yeah.
Optimus Primal, like, his voice, too. Like, I don't know what happened with the original cast from this. Why couldn't they bring them in?
Too much money? Like a...
Oh, real, oh, come
no,
on.
No, I can't. I'm just kidding. There's no way that would have been too much money. But
yeah, exactly. Like, they did, what, a few seasons, and they're asking for millions now? I don't know. It just... The whole voice things from a lot of these characters threw me off.
It was hit or miss with voices here. Like, some were fan. Like, I liked Bumblebee's.
Yeah, Bumblebee's good, yep.
I didn't mind Rhinox still. Ironhide is fine. I liked the leader one. RC's just a generic female voice.
Yeah.
But then you get other guys. Like, it's mostly the Predacons and Maximals that I had problems with.
Yeah, me too. Same thing, yeah.
And this was basically just a toy commercial, so...
Oh, this was like how many Decepticons and Autobots we can cram in here.
Yeah.
So that we can make sales off it.
At one point, they had like 8 Scorponoks on screen. Like, I was like, what the hell? what is this?
They were trying to annoy me and say, hey, go army build.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was like, here's an army building scene. Here's an army building scene.
No, Hasbro. I will not fall for that. I don't think so. I am not army building Scorponok when there's only supposed to be one Scorponok. I'm sorry. That's not happening.
And up until that moment, there was only one. And then just 8 came out of the corridor. I'm like, when did this happen?
They all popped up for the multiverse.
Yeah.
Different Scorponok variants. Yeah, I was watching this, first few episodes. I'm like, this is so boring. There's a lot of talking, blah, blah, blah. Optimus Prime is so weak in this show. From beginning to end, he's such a weak character. I'm used to the G1 Optimus, where when he says, Autobots, roll out, I wanted to turn into a Transformer and roll out. Because he commanded the room and his voice, shout out to the gentleman who does the voice of, what is his name again? I keep forgetting.
The new one is Jake.
No, the old one. The one and only Optimus Prime in my mind. But, when, that Optimus Prime exuded leadership, this one sounded like insecure, wasn't sure if he's the leader or not. Should he stay in the background and let everybody else in front of him fight? Peter Cullen, that's the gentleman's name, Peter Cullen. I love that man, and I just love that voice. That is my Optimus Prime voice. Others have tried and haven't come close. But, yeah, I mean, and then you have this mix of Transformers from various, shows. Like we just talked about the Kingdom Beast Wars people coming into this. And then not all on top of that, we also have the future Transformers. We have Galvatron mixed into this. And this whole thing is about multiversing and going through different dimensions.
I can't get away from time travel.
As soon as I saw this time stuff, I immediately thought of you with your eyeballs rolling. I had a picture of you sitting in your couch going, oh my God, just stop, people, with the time stuff.
Well, I knew that like Maximals and Predacons are future like generations of Transformers. So I had an inkling that they would time travel, but in the comics, they are just a part of society as well. Like, there is a chance that they wouldn't involve time travel, and they just had to do it. And I rolled my eyes, like you said, I did.
As soon as I saw this time travel nonsense, I'm like, this is bad. This is a terrible idea. Why do you need to do this? Why? Why can you not roll with the generations? Like, the Kingdoms, the Beast War characters, they should have had their own show spin-off from this. They should have had that, and... They, I think, in this third installment, were done dirty. They were given such limited time. The voice was all over the place. Some of the characters, I think, spoke one line. I think Rat Trap said one line.
He had some lines, like not a lot. What's interesting about him is they kept his personality from the old cartoons. So they took like the popular characters that they thought would make money still and just used them here. And then others are completely different.
Rat Trap was one of those characters in the old show that just wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Right? And some people liked it, some people didn't. But overall, people wanted to see the Rat Trap like they're used to. And it like they put a muzzle on him and said, nope, we're not going to have this guy come on and talk. And I just thought it was just a terrible, you know, wrongdoing of this character. And then you have, you know, like we just talked about Megatron, T-Rex Megatron, a.k.a. Barney now. Like, why would you think that voice and that type of acting would be good representation of a T-Rex and a leader of the Decepticons? I don't understand. Like, who was sitting in that room going, yeah, let's go with this weak and whiny voice because that exudes leadership there. And that sounds like a T-Rex coming down.
He was
down.
Like a bumbling fool who fell into power, basically. Because he had no one else to work with.
He just happened to get the biggest body in the group. And he's like, yep, I'm the leader by default. And the other thing that really drove me nuts was this switching back and forth from good guy to bad guy. Bad guy to good guy. There was no allegiance. Like, the Decepticon logo meant nothing. You had Arachne, I believe it is.
Oh, switch Black over. Arachne, yeah. She does
and then
that,
you
huh?
had the other gentleman who's a Raptor.
Oh, Dinobot.
Switch over. To the good guys. Like, I don't understand. And then Starscream, like, of all people, Starscream wants to be with the good guys? What? It's just such a weird... For me, and speaking this from my own personal opinion, it's such a weird concept to see all these people jumping ship back and forth. To do it once, fine. You know, because Jetfire did that. To do it once, but to keep doing it back and forth throughout one segment of the trilogy... I don't know. It just.
It's like, confusing. I recall Starscream doing it, but it took forever for them to even consider trusting him, and he still screwed them over anyway, so.
Well, Megatron jumped over to the other side and sided with Optimus.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Why? He should be going down with the ship. That is Megatron that I know. He will not succumb to Optimus.
That's how I felt about the Predacon one. Like, he would never, like, fanboy over the G1.
I would have expected the two of them to double-cross each other. Yeah, that would have been
100%.
Good. Double-cross each other, don't trust each other, do things to piss each other off. That would have been more entertaining. Because that's their character. They want to be the alpha dog, right? And they're not going to play second fiddle to anybody.
See, what did it for me was when he's like, change your name. Because he's just like, I'm Megatron, change your name. And he didn't defend himself at all. Like, he just rolled with it. He did everything he said. It made me not want to buy his figure anymore. When I saw him stomping on screen, I was like, okay, this reminds me how I felt about Beast Wars Megatron. Maybe I should go hunt one down. And then he opened his mouth. I was like, oh no, I just saved myself about $60 today.
You're so lucky because I have him right here in front of me. I have them. Like, I bought
that's
these.
Okay.
I want to respect the Kingdom line, and even though I'm not a huge fan of this.
They look beautiful.
They look great, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go grab them.
Yeah.
Because I'm a collector at heart, and you know what? If I don't have these in my collection, maybe I'm going to miss the boat when the show comes out. So I went and got them prior to the show dropping. In case they were a hit, I would not be looking and running around for them. But... yeah, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, I don't even want to think about these voices. I'm going to revert to the old Beast War characters and their voices and use that as, you know, a reason why I bought these.
Yeah.
Because they're updated versions of those characters in terms of how they look, right? So,
it's funny,
it's a shame.
Rewatching old scenes, there was a moment where the Beast Wars, Maximals, and Predacons found their G1 ship, and they're long dead. Not dead, they're in their comatose state.
Yeah.
And Optimus Primal takes Optimus's spark, and it transforms him into Optimal Optimus, the like big one who's part jet and part fire.
Yeah.
And then Megatron basically wrestles the G1 Megatron spark. Like, he's like, it's completely different from what we see now. Like, that one wouldn't take no for an answer. He's like, nope, I want an upgrade. I'm taking your spark. And he, like, wrestled it out of him, totally owned him, stole his power for himself. It just goes back to what you said. They would probably double-cross each other, given the chance, because they both want to be top dog. Here is just was so different.
And then you add the element of the other two segments that they had come out with. So they go back to Cybertron. They find their way to Cybertron, and all the characters are dead. There's no explanation of how they died. They're just dead, you know. And then we find out that Alita, you know, loved Optimus, and called him by his old name before he was Optimus, and I forget the name, but
oh, Orion Pax.
Yeah, Orion. There you go. See, look at you.
See, on, I know stuff.
Just on the ball. Look at you. So I just like. Why? Like, you got rid of all these characters. What for? This time travel thing was not needed in there. It really ruined this trilogy. It really ruined it. Having Megatron know what he was doing throughout the whole time because he was able to get information from his future Galvatron, and Galvatron is trying to right the ship and not be the slave of Unicron, which I'm going to get to in a second. I'm going to get to that in a second here because
I want your Netflix... take on that.
Netflix did it again. You know, they lied about He-Man. Now they're lying about Transformers too. They told us it's a three-part trilogy, but from the way it ended, that does not sound like they're just going to stop it at three. That sounds like they're going to build a whole new trilogy probably, and I don't know what to expect from that.
Because... if they change the name, then it's a new show.
Yeah. But they're going to bring the elements from this and say it's a continuation
100%.
Story.
But right? But that was their first three-parter. And now it's time for something new, like Beast Wars and Beast Machines. Different, but the same. I have a feeling you're going to do something like that.
I also found it weird to have multiples of the same characters on screen. Like like we talked about, I found it weird to have two Megatrons. I found it weird to have two Optimus. I just prefer one. I want one leader because it just felt odd. Like there's two Optimus on the screen and both mean well, but both want to lead as well, right? Because that's their role. They're Optimus, and they want to lead. And it just, like, one stomps on the other in terms of leadership, and then the other feels like a second-rate Optimus. It just, I don't know. Like, I don't know whose decision was to have all these characters crammed in. I bet you it's probably Hasbro trying to make the cash on these figures. But, yeah, no,
that's the, like, cliche formula where two teams meet each other. Maybe sometimes even alternate versions of the teams. They fight at first, and then they finally put their differences aside to take on the bad guys. Like, that's happened all the time. Avengers versus meets Justice League. Just anything.
Civil War. Like...
So, you didn't like that at all, hey?
No, I don't like that. It just it rubbed me the wrong way because I felt these different generations of characters deserved their own spotlight alone. There are so many of these characters that weren't given the chance, especially the Kingdom characters. They weren't given the chance to flex their characteristics, their story. It wasn't there for them. They were just sort of shoved into this thing and rushed through it. And I think there's for fans, and I'm saying this for who's not, I'm not a fan of Beast Wars, but I'm saying that the fans of Beast Wars, they're probably not happy with the way their characters were rushed through this trilogy, or this third installment. I think they deserve their own show, or they should have had an extension of some sort of storytelling for these characters. They were just like sort of like sidekicks the whole time.
Yeah. I didn't mind the crossover. I did like the action. Like, I don't hate the show entirely. It sounds like we do.
I don't really hate it, but I don't really like it either. Right? I was just kind of in the middle. I was just like, okay, it's cool to see some of these characters, you know, being in this TV screen again. After so many years, especially the Kingdom characters. Nice to see all this. I found it interesting that the Teletron became a giant. That's another way to sell another robot. A giant one, it's like $300, I believe it is, Canadian. And I'm a sucker and I pre-ordered one from...
Oh, you got games. It. I was like, oh, did he get it? There you go, that answers my question.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't help myself. I'm a sucker for big robots, okay? Leave me alone. But, overall, like, what would you give this out of 10? We didn't even talk about the very ending, Unicron. So we get Unicron and we get another surprise. We get Nemesis Prime. There's another character. I'm like, what? Like, I have this character, but why do we need to shove this guy into the show? Why not wait till some other show? Because if you're going to show Unicron and you're going to show little tidbits of it, you're definitely going to have another show, because you're just not going to leave it at that. So why not introduce Nemesis Prime then? But nope, they decide to throw Nemesis Prime in with Galvatron.
It's time travel stuff again, where it's future evil self.
And it's another dimension, right?
Yeah. It's funny when they said, I think he's with Bumblebee, and he's like, oh, this crater wasn't here before. There's only one person strong enough to do this. It's you. And I'm like, Optimus has been getting, like, beat up left and right this whole yeah. season. Like, I don't know about that. There's a lot of people who could just do this, make this crater this size.
Yeah, you're trying to make Optimus look important now with the very last episode?
He's been like, come on. Just getting bodied left and right in each season. So don't pretend now he's some unstoppable force.
Yeah, exactly.
The first episode, he was damaged.
Yeah. Bumblebee looked more of a warrior than he did.
He did, yeah. He didn't take anyone's crap. He just...
Yeah. I don't understand why Optimus was so weak in the show. But, we get Nemesis, and Nemesis is standing next to Galvatron, and they are not at odds. Like, I watched Galvatron when I was a kid. He was ruthless.
Yeah, but
Did you see what he did to Starscream? I mean, seriously.
It's because he was a slave here, which doesn't make sense, because if you're brainwashed, how did you have enough willpower to send a message back to yourself?
Thank you. I was just going to get into that. Thank you. Yes. If you're brainwashed and you are fully in control by Unicron, but you have the ability to go back in time to fix all this? Huh? This makes no sense. Exactly. I was just... this whole show is just another poor writing. Another poor way to end things. It's like they lost... Halfway through, they're like sitting there going, how do we end this thing? We don't know how to end it. Oh, I know. We could just have Unicron at the end, and then we'll just leave it at that. And people will just, be okay with that.
Mm. It was a good toy commercial. I don't know. It's harmless. I feel like I'm giving sixes left and right, but it didn't leave an impression on me.
Is that your mark now out of 10?
It didn't fail. It was just harmless.
No, it didn't fail.
Yeah, so I can't give it like a 5.
Well, 5's not a fail. 5's a...
It's passing, but it's like a pathetic, like, you just made it.
You crammed at 8 a.m. in the morning for your test when the test is at 9 a.m. So that's what a 5 is. You crammed an hour before, and that's the best you can do.
50%. That's what I feel like this deserves. Maybe someone who is 100% into the Transformers lore would give it something better because they appreciate it more. I'm going to actually give it a 5 because that's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it a 5. I'm actually going to give it a 4.
Really?
I'm gonna give it a fail. And the only reason I'm giving it a 4 is because of the characters that I got to see. I'm not a fan of the voiceovers for a lot of these characters. I think they're terrible choices for some of them. The story did not need time traveling. It's just a lazy cop-out of trying to jump on the bandwagon of other, shows or movies. This mixture of different generation of Transformers, not a fan of that because I think they should have gotten their own separate showing. And then the cliffhanger at the end that didn't make any sense. And then they told us that this is going to be a trilogy, but in fact it's not because this is the cliffhanger you're leaving us with. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. It's all over the place. It's a waste of time to me, to be honest with you. Like, if you're going to watch it in the background while you're doing some, opening some figures like I am, then that's great to have that in the background. But if you think this is a compelling end to a trilogy, no, the first two are better than this one. This is a dud. This is a whimper, going into the sunset. It's a 4 out of 10 for me. So 5 for you, 4 for me. So yeah, not really resounding marks.
I'm just curious what other people who are like our hardcore fans would give it.
Well, if you're listening and you're totally disagreeing with us and just probably trying to strangle us through the whatever device you're listening on, let us know on Astonishing NR, our Twitter, Instagram handles. Let us know what you guys think. Did you guys think it was a terrible movie? Did you or show? Or do you think it was a better? Give us a rating, put 6 out of 10 for TF or something like that. And let us know. We would love to hear from your guys' point of view on what you guys thought. So, yeah, I mean, both of us don't think it's a great show at all. 5 and 4, that's pretty pathetic.
I do like
5 and 4 ever, right?
Have we ever given 5 and 4? I don't think so. No. Let's give a review on how do you feel about the designs?
Oh, the designs are fine. The animation is fine. It's modern, updated animation. There was nothing wrong with the animations.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like that. That makes me actually want to seek them out.
Yeah, I might have some doubles if you're interested.
No, I'm not getting started.
How about I just drop it up here and you figure it out.
I'm not getting started with this again.
Oh, man. All right, okay. We are done with the Netflix Transformers, thank God. Moving on to our next topic, which is our final topic. D, you want to take it away with this one?
So the other day, Elvin basically brought up Invincible again. And it was interesting to start talking about this because Amazon Prime show finished, what has it been, like 2 months now?
Yeah, I have no idea. I miss it every day.
Time's going by fast. But Robert Kirkman reminded everyone, like, hey, by the way, we still have plans for a live-action film. Like, let's not forget about that. We still have treats for you. And I don't know how to feel about that. Mainly because I read the comics, got all the, like, twists and surprises out of the way. The show isn't done yet, but same thing, twists and surprises. What could they possibly do different in a movie? Would they retell the same story? The thing with the comics is each arc has kind of like a cliffhanger ending. So I don't want a movie that's going to be a cliffhanger and then we have to wait like 6 years for part two, because this thing's just been going on forever. They've been talking about this for years and years and years now. I don't trust that they would do something that I would appreciate in film. And if they do, I know it may not get a part two. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. You know what I mean, though? Like, you can tell something's just too intense to be summed up in 2 hours. Like, this is a story that needs to be told over an episodic period of a few months.
What if they did a trilogy?
But I don't know if they do that in a reasonable time frame. I don't want to be 56 by the time part three comes out, you know?
Hey, watch it now. I don't know, like live action, I think they saw the ratings of the animation and they just saw dollar signs.
Yeah.
Robert Kirkman wants to build an empire, right? And he saw money and he's like, wait a minute, let's get back into this live action thing. If it's going to be a live action film that they're going to do every 2 years and maybe a trilogy out of this, and it's going to have a different storyline, I don't know. I mean, the issue I have here is it going to cross over or is it going to overlap? Like, they're saying they're not really telling us exactly what they're planning on doing because they're not even there yet. But there's indications that the show will be different than the animation. Then there's talks that they might overlap each other or have some sort of continuation or similarities. See, I don't know.
That's the confusing part. The quote here that he responded to someone at Comic-Con from home is someone asked, like, will this be different than the animated series? And he's like, I'm not telling. This is one of those things that's a little early going in, but I will say that there are massive efforts going in to make sure the film experience is unique and separate from the animated series, while also being true to Invincible. So is this going to be something I've seen twice already with just very minimal changes? If so, it will be cool to watch a fight in live action, but will I appreciate all the talking and stuff going on in between that? Will I just be waiting the whole film to see him throw down with his, I don't want to spoil this, with someone, with so-and-so?
Yeah, if anybody hasn't seen Invincible, you need to go check it out on Amazon. But if you don't want to hear any spoilers right now, again, we always do spoilers here. We're not going to tippy-toe around these things. So definitely go watch Invincible on Amazon Prime and then come back and listen to the rest of this podcast because we're going to ruin it for you in about 3, 2, 1. So, yeah, I mean, with the dad going all, you know, crazy, how are they going to cram all that? Just look at season one storyline. There's I don't know how you're going to cram that into a movie because you need to do a beginning to explain who he is, where the dad's from, where the son, how his son's getting his powers, and how he's going through high school and getting these powers. That's going to take, what, a good 45 minutes in the movie?
Yeah.
Right? And then you need to have this story of his dad over time killing these people and then all these other situations that the government, Cecil, all these guys have to come into play. That's going to be another hour of that part, the middle part, and then the final, the ending there. I don't know if you can do all of that in 3 hours, probably, which is probably what you're going to need to do the story somewhat, right? Justice. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. Like, that's too tough for me. Like, I can't picture it.
It's just too rushed.
I think they saw dollar signs. I agree with you 100%. I think that's what they're like, how do we make more money off this franchise? Well, for one, you still have a few seasons to go. You have merchandising that you guys aren't utilizing correctly because I would have been pumping toys out on day one.
Man, Diamond Select was the terrible decision to go with Diamond Select. Why not NECA? Why not NECA? Like, the crazy thing is Amazon already has a deal in place to do the boys with NECA, right? You just piggyback off that. But I have a feeling they are getting it because NECA did say they have some new licensing that they're going to be announcing in September.
I hope so.
So I have a feeling because they have that relationship already with Amazon with the boys figures, I think they're going to do that. And I also think that I believe it's Mafex is going to be jumping on board as well. I mean, there's too much money to be made here with so many characters, so many colorful characters. I would die and go to heaven when they announce this stuff from these big companies like SH Figure Arts or Mafex or NECA, because I know they're going to bring quality stuff to us, right? Diamond Select, yeah, I'm not even going anywhere near that. That is a hot mess. It's a hit or miss with these guys, and often it is a miss. I'm not buying any of those figures. They're out of scale for me, not doing it. But I'm very hopeful in September there's some announcement coming from NECA or Mafex that they're going to be doing the Invincible toy line because, yeah, like you said, it's a missed opportunity to further make a lot more money. And this is all money-driven. Had the Invincible show been lukewarm and not hot, fire hot right now, they would have never talked about live action. No way. No chance. And it's funny because only one season's gone by and they're already jumping on expanding this and already trying to water this down. I think they should let season two play out and see if the ratings are steady or they dropped off, because they need to make sure season two is good to give it that, you know, that strong foundation, and then maybe drop in a movie. But to say that this is going to be a trilogy, so don't worry, the first season we're just going to skim the surfaces of who he is, Mark as a character, establishing and learning himself. And then we'll throw you another movie in 2 years because we're going to write the scripts for all three together. And that way we can, you know, quickly get into production for the second and third installment. Giving us an outlook of a 6-year outlook would be better, like Star Wars does.
Yeah.
They give you an outlook of saying that they right at the beginning that we get all three scripts. We're going to do it, you know, every 2 years, drop it for you so it's not too much a gap. We don't want to be Avatar and have two decades in between movies. That will be okay. We'll see. I mean, he has a right to make money. If they can do it properly, then okay, fine. You know, but I would wait till season two and see where the ratings are, in my opinion.
That's fair.
What do you think?
Oh, 100%. I think they are just seeing dollar signs. I think they need a better outline. They might have one. They probably do have one. I don't think they're that crazy, but I can't picture any possible way this could be done in one sitting without it being boring at some part of the like movie, because there is a lot of talking in between all that action stuff, like a lot of teen drama stuff.
Yeah, so, and but you have to develop those characters, like those side characters mean something.
You need that stuff. Yeah. So either you're gonna have to sacrifice the action for character development, or you're just gonna have to make this a mindless like bloody mess.
But I mean, if you say that's a trilogy and if you tell fans that, hey, you're not going to see all of season one in the first movie because we're going to take the time to do it right.
Yeah.
I think fans will be okay with that. But here's the other problem that I have with this is if we're in, like, say, by the time the movie comes into theaters, if it's going to be, you know, what they're saying in a couple of years, we're probably going to be into season 4 or 5 of Invincible, are we not?
That's why them announcing their game plan to us doesn't matter to me, because you're talking about something that isn't even in like pre-production yet.
Yeah, there's not even a script.
Everything you're saying to me now is meaningless, because I see 4 years from now you're going to start filming the first movie. So you're basically talking like between 4 to 10 years of planning and filming a trilogy.
I think maybe he's trying to prolong this franchise by saying, okay, by the time we lay the groundwork to start, you know, the movie, the show would have ended already. The Amazon animation show would have ended. I think that's what they're looking at. How do we continue this franchise after it ends? Because I think it's going to go up to season 5, and I think it'll end there.
Okay.
I think that's the longevity of the show, season 5. After that, I think it'll just go off a cliff because I think the ratings will go down. I don't know if it has the legs to go past season 5.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're probably thinking it. 4 or 5, it ends. And then right after it ends, we can hit them with the live action because by then we'll be in production already. So I think that's they're looking at how do we get it. He's looking at how do I get a decade long worth of Invincible money. That is what he's looking at. And it's smart. It's smart.
It's smart.
Good on him. Good on him. Right. He's done that with The Walking Dead by having spinoffs and making crazy deal with AMC. He's made a fortune doing that. And good on him for thinking long term here, because he knows this show will come to an end eventually. But how do we rejuvenate that interest and get the dollar bill still coming? Let's hit him with the live action right after the animation ends. So yeah, good on him. I'm a little skeptical. We'll see. It's way too early to right now see if this is gonna pan out. But let's see how the first couple of seasons of Invincible go first before he could, you know, be certain that there's going to be viewership and people clamoring for more Invincible, because it could be a dud. I know Boys season 2 wasn't as big of a hit as season 1 was. So, and there's not too many people clamoring to get Boys action figures. But Invincible is different, though. It really is, yeah. Right?
Because you have fans, like diehard fans from the comics.
Yeah.
A lot of people I spoke to didn't realize the Boys was a comic. And even then, the comic was so different that it made no difference what the show was following. Yeah. It was its own thing at that point.
Well, I mean, Invincible is different too because they're more fast-paced, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the characters are so colorful, and I love the little alien guys. Can you imagine army building those? Oh, man. Those guys that keep coming back and getting slaughtered. They spend decades improving their tech and then
you could totally army build those.
That'd be so much fun. I would at least get 10 of those. That'd be so much fun. anything else you want to add to this?
No, I think just waiting for more details. So we'll see in a couple years.
And yeah, we'll follow it up with this. And then when Invincibles drops, we are definitely talking about them every episode. It's going to be fun. We can't wait to do that. So yeah, it's going to be good times. Did they announce when season 2 is going to be dropping?
No, I have no idea. So
it's probably going to be in late spring. Right?
We'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get those guys back. I enjoyed watching that. All right, okay, I guess that kind of wraps it up for today. So wherever you are in the world or the universe, have yourself a good morning, a good day, and a good night.
Bye.
To infinity and beyond.